This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Wanted to talk about something that happened today, though, and I didn't see this coming kind of out of nowhere, but I got the email in my inbox. Let me see when it populated. Right around 1 o'clock this afternoon, and I did a audible gasp with a fist pump that someone would have noticed if they were sitting near me at the bar and been like, what is going on in this
guy's
life?
What is with that guy's deal?
Life. The Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, that's Masson.
That's Masson.
Is offering direct-to-consumer streaming option for the first time ever now. As they finally, in their final year of this deal with the Nationals, have to actually improve their product. Because the Nationals are a free agent and can leave.
Ah.
They can go to Monumental. They can be taken over by Major League Baseball. They can go shop around. Beginning April 21st, that's today, Masson is going to be offering DTC, direct-to-consumer streaming options. It's Masson Plus. Fans can subscribe for $20 a month or $90 for the rest of this baseball season. You're going to get 24/7 Masson and Masson 2 content, including every available Orioles and Nationals game. So you get all the games. You get Orioles and Nats Classics, O's and Nats Extra, and all other Masson programming. Now, they're still not doing enough shoulder stuff and shows during the day about the teams that they need to do to be a, you know, one of those real baseball networks.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, they'll shell out some money if they have to moving forward to keep the team, and they'll do that. But this is significant.
Massive.
Because they're one of the few teams in baseball, Danny, where you could not get an app. You couldn't really cut the cord because you needed Masson via DirecTV or via whatever cable provider you might have, and it wasn't many of them, but that still had Masson. So many people like me have had to get DirecTV every single baseball season and then freeze it or cut it off until the start of the next baseball season. Finally now, at $20 a month or at $90, you can stream the games via Roku or Fire TV, Amazon,
Apple
TV.
Whatever you got. Yep.
This is like the Nats joining the 2015s, 2020s. I mean, this is pretty amazing.
It is an enormous deal. So you go back to the beginning when they weren't on anybody's TV. Like, no cable packages had it. And then you had play-by-play announcers going, can anyone hear this? If so, you know, send me a message or something like that. I mean, it's trying to build a fan base. And it's not just for cord cutters that don't like their cable companies. It's for people like my aunt and uncle-in-law who live outside of Leesburg that have always constantly had so many different problems with, sort of all things cable and you know, if the wind blows, if it rains, if one of the local roosters or chickens does something untoward with the satellite dish or whatever. There are constant issues. People that live remotely, this is the way to do it. This is what has needed to happen for so long. People need to be able to see your product. Please get your product to where the people are. This is where the people are. It's, you know, more than a decade too late, but I ain't complaining. It is a massive step forward. Thank you.
Yeah, it's outrageous how long this took, but I'm not going to complain about it. A beggar cannot be a chooser or something
Indeed.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here is my question, though. If we didn't find out 6 weeks ago or whatever it was, that the Nationals are a free agent from a TV network standpoint, and that the expectation wasn't that they end up on Monumental Sports with the Caps and the Wizards on Ted Leonsis' network, would this have happened today?
Great question. Now, you can't make up an app in 6 weeks.
I understand. I'm sure they've been working on it for a long time, but you don't
have
to offer it
necessarily. Yeah, a little more
necessarily.
Urgency.
Mm-hmm. You know, I bet you kicked it into overdrive.
Yeah.
And it's been a couple of months, but I'm sure, by the way, like, we found out a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that they found out months before that?
That's fair, yeah.
I think that at the least it impacted this, but this should have been happening for years.
Yep.
It is infuriating that it hasn't, because for so many of us, if you have the MLB.TV Major League Baseball package, you can't get the television games of the local teams locally. they get black. And I pay for MLB.TV like I do. I can watch every Mariners and Rangers and every Athletics and Reds game that I want until and if they're playing the Orioles or the Nationals. Mm-hmm. When they are, or any O's or Nats game, I don't get. So there was no way for me to stream those teams until right now. And finally it's happening. There's a couple people complaining about the price point. Kick rocks with that. I mean, apps cost money. You're getting a game every night for a few hours. If you want to watch the team, it's available to you. Like anything, you got to decide if you want to pay or not. I'm sure you'd like the Caps tickets tonight to be less, too. It's a product. This is what it costs. Enjoy it or don't. But the option should have always been there. It's just egregious to me that it wasn't. And today, maybe I'm overstating it, but as a diehard who has wanted to cut the cord for years, this is one of the biggest entertainment developments in this town in years.
Yeah, it's hard to understate it, honestly. And again, it may not affect you. You may just say, no, I'm very happy with my cable company. I've never heard anyone say that, by the way. I've never actually heard that sentence come out of anyone's mouth.
Is that a thing?
Maybe you are. Maybe you're thrilled to pay for, you know, close to 1,000 channels, 977 of which you would never watch or don't speak the language that it's in or are that interested in George Mason University, like public television. I don't know what class they're streaming or what sort of hearing they're doing. I'm sure it's awesome. I've never turned on that channel. I don't want to pay for that. I'd like to pay for the things I use. So I've been desperate to get to this model. I've been desperate for this. The reason I pay for cable is so I could watch Nationals games, and now I can do it my own way. So, you know, you could say, hey, it's $90 for the season is a little too rich for my blood. Totally get that. To me, it's, I don't know, what, $1,000 cheaper than paying my cable company every month for, you know, again, 970 channels that I don't know what they're doing or why.
City Tap House in Penn Quarter, the site today of Grant and Danny. We are taking you all the way up to pregame of Caps hockey at 6:45, and then we'll waddle on over to the arena with so many of our listeners. We'll be rocking their red as we party this evening. We are also on site going to be raffling off tickets to Game 1 tonight. You got to fill out your name, and you have a chance if you're here at 5 p.m., to get tickets to tonight's game, so you can come on by to win those. But your next chance as a listener to win tickets for Game 2 on Wednesday is at 3:20, 25 minutes from right now on Grant and Danny. Tariq El-Bashir of Monumental Sports helps us set the table for tonight's matchup with Montreal to kick off the Stanley Cup playoffs next on The Fan. But Danny, we've got to start.
Sure we do.
With a Caps win last night at home at Capital One Arena in front of 20,000 strong. The good guys took a 2-0 series lead, have an 89% chance now mathematically to advance to the second round for the first time since the 2018 Cup run. 3-1 victory. It was not easy. It was not always pretty. But a 2-1 Capitals edge, thanks to two goals in the span of 60 seconds, got them the advantage they needed. And then in the third period, as Montreal threw the kitchen sink at him, Logan Thompson stood on his head.
Yeah, this to me is the Logan Thompson game. Like, this is what I'm going, if they go on a deep run, I'm going to remember Logan Thompson here putting the team on his back. When they couldn't get the puck out of the zone, when they couldn't clear, when Montreal had all the pressure in the universe, and was putting on him. It was shot after shot. It was shift after shift. Nothing was going right for the Capitals. Logan Thompson decided, you know what I am actually? Is an athletic brick wall. Nothing through here. Not tonight. Not you guys. He was sensational.
I don't want to make this anti-Charlie Lindgren, because all he is a good egg, mm-hmm. who's a great teammate and a very fine player, and I'm excited that he's been re-signed. But this was my point for weeks leading up to the playoffs. If Logan Thompson's healthy, I feel a lot better. And the reason is, Logan Thompson's tremendous. And you saw it again last night. He makes the big save at the big moment. He's done it all year long for this team. The toe kick save that he made on a redirection in the third period, miraculous.
So he's going the opposite direction, yeah.
It looked like he had made the save, Holtby style, diving across the cage with a completely open net. And as you watch the replay, it actually hit the post. But even on that play, which people want to take away from him, after the post, he still saves it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he didn't knock it into the net.
Me neither.
25 saves on 26 shots with the one goal allowed for him, a .962 save percentage. Remember when he had a concussion and didn't play in a game for weeks?
Yep.
How did he come back and this quickly regain his game? This is amazing.
And be that sharp? I have no idea.
there have been a couple of those this year. The most miraculous, of course, is Alex Ovechkin at 39 years old, breaking his leg and then, you know, being at a better goal-scoring pace than he ever has in his record-setting career. But this is, in a normal year, this would be kind of the sensational injury recovery story. How could you be sharp without playing? Well, you can't do anything. It's not as if he's just sitting there practicing and facing a bunch of live shots. You're not allowed to do anything. Having the lights on hurts your head. And he has to wait and wait and wait. It's not as if he was as sharp when he got injured as well. Thank goodness for Logan Thompson through these couple games. Last night especially, Monday as well, I thought he was really good. But last night, I think he stole that game, quite frankly. Like, that was Montreal. Stole maybe too strong.
Yeah, they had a lead, so it's hard to say he stole it, but he saved it.
He saved it. Let's put it that way.
Literally and figuratively.
Put it that way.
He saved them the game. Connor McMichael was tremendous again. He scored two goals, the first that tied the game at one, and then the empty netter that put it on ice. He had a team-high four shots. Ryan Leonard had three shots on net. The kid's been great. His two best games as a Capital, in my opinion, have come in the playoffs. And you want to talk about things that are hard to explain? I don't really get that, but he has elevated his game in a brilliant way. And I'll tell you who else was really, really good last night. Maybe it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, although he did have an apple and a point. I thought Taylor Radish was marvelous.
He was all over the ice.
Radish, who's most likely to lose his spot when Protas comes back, because they're going to have to reconfigure things, and some forward's going to have to come out. And I thought it was a foregone conclusion it would be him, but unless they get cute, maybe they're going to have to rethink things. I don't know, because playing the way he was yesterday, you don't want him out of the lineup. But everybody, man, Anthony Beauvillier, awesome again. Andrew Mangiapane through two games has been excellent. Like, some of the guys that we said you need more out of, these aren't, you know, productive players down the stretch. They're elevating their game. The Capitals, though, two goals in 60 seconds. That was their whole offense before the empty netter, was 1 minute of hockey. The 22nd time in team history in the playoffs that they scored twice within a game minute.
16-18 to go in the second period. Montreal leading it here as McMichael cuts out front. And a shot, he scores! Connor McMichael on the second effort. The first one did not go. The second one did. And McMichael has tied it 1-1 here in game two. And a puck back now for Carlson. Ahead to Ryan Leonard. Goes across to Beauvillier in the tap. The rebound. They score! And it's Dylan Strom! Oh, baby! Right down the middle. Goes to the backhand. It's 2-1 Washington!
So, going through both goals really quick. The McMichael goal first, that's just work. Behind the net, a little time and space. He had the puck forever. Nobody knocks him off his block. That's something that, if you're in front of the Caps net, doesn't really happen very often because they're big and they're just going to drill you. You saw it last night where Nick Dowd just de-skated. I think it was maybe Cole Caulfield, but one of their guys that had the puck in front of the net. You're getting knocked in the air. But McMichael was banging around and hitting the puck, and he hit it off a defender, and after Montreal got a fluke goal to start the thing. They evened it up on one themselves. The Strome goal was beautiful. Tic-tac-toe. You had the great feed from Leonard, the one-time pass from Beauvillier, then Stromer with a pass to himself off the pads. He said he wasn't trying to do that, but it was a huge rebound, quick reaction time, and both were kind of playoff beautiful goals. The first was the more of the grimy working goal. The second was, that's a skilled team.
Yeah, it was boom, 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 right?
And it wasn't even a line that is traditionally together because it was Leonard, Beauvillier, and Strome at that moment. But there's your offense, and Logan Thompson made it work.
Yeah. I was surprised that they weren't able to get a couple more home at various points. I thought they'd have more of those grimy chances, just, you know, leaning on people, being more physical, et cetera. But, you know, Montembeau's good, and I think Montreal is well-coached and they kind of know what they're about. Sort of waiting in line, you know, lying in wait for those counterattacks. I think they know they're going to get outshot for most of these games. As at one point, I think the Caps had a 26-10 shot advantage on official count. But, yeah, I mean, they're furious third periods, they're counterattacks. It's where they're dangerous when they kind of get those pucks in open ice after a save or, you know, after a turnover or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, that was, you know, it wasn't much doing for a while for the Capitals in terms of quality scoring chances. But we normally on this show, we love you guys listening live. However you could tune the show is great. Right? We love that. We just love people listening. So thank you for everybody that does. Normally, we're just like, hey, man, if you miss something live, go check the podcast, right? Go to the Odyssey app. You can download it. Wherever you get your podcast, do that. I'm asking everyone, don't check the podcast from yesterday when we were drafting players to score goals, because there's no reason to go back and listen to that. Like, you don't need to hear who I took instead of Connor McMichael. And you don't need to hear the reason that I said Connor McMichael wouldn't score if he had 1,000 playoff games. And then he scored twice like an hour later. So don't go listen to that one from yesterday.
But Ryan did draft Connor McMichael.
Yeah, right after me.
So Clary's on the board.
Yep.
So the leaderboard is Darris with 3.
Mm-hmm.
Clary's got 2 goals. You did get 1.
I got a Stromer goal.
You took Stromer last night. Mm-hmm. So myself and Toby still looking to get on the board.
I could have had my Darris night. I could have had my 3 goals.
Could have. Staring you right in the face.
I went in my mind, I go, he's due to he'll never score ever. 2 times.
Star of the game, though, Thompson, pretty clearly, who is the 4th Caps goalie ever to win his first 2 playoff starts with the team. And now in 6 career playoff games, how about these numbers? 4-2 with a .207 goals against and a .931 save percentage. He's been outstanding in the playoffs. This was Danny yesterday.
Oh, no.
Talking about Connor McMichael.
Oh, no.
There's a player that makes sense, but I believe if there were 1,000 playoff games, he would not score, as evidenced by his refusal to put the puck in the back of the net in the first couple of minutes last night. So I will be bypassing that gentleman.
That gentleman was Connor McMichael.
Who would score twice?
Who scored 2 goals.
So I'm happy to do that as a public service for Capitals fans.
Yeah, I want you to talk more trash about some of the Caps forwards.
I'll do that. Who needs to score on Friday? I'll happily not take him.
Well, you want to do the immovable object and the unstoppable force? You could talk badly about Lars Eller.
There you go.
Because, I mean, that guy.
Well, boy, I selected Lars Eller, yeah.
I'm not sure he'd hit water if he fell out of a boat at this point in front of the net. I like how he's playing. He's been physical.
I actually thought he played well last night,
Grant. He's throwing his weight around. But he just can't finish. No. He's a nerd at a high school party, brother. It's just not happening for my guy Lars right now. One guy I do want to call attention to, Matty Roy, played 23 minutes last night. You may not have noticed him because he looks so different because he shaved his beard to start his playoff beard. He is very, very sound, stay at home, nothing sexy. He's the anti-Chickering in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's not offensive. He's not scoring goals. He's not going to get a lot of assists. He's a defensive defenseman. But my God, has he been important. Without Ferravari, a little more Alexiev now, Carlson missing time at the end of the season, Chickie getting some rest days. I thought Roy was really, really good last night. Only Carlson played more.
A lot of times when you don't notice those guys, it's like an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you notice Chickering, who's skating in. And by the way, I drafted Chickering, hit the post in the first couple of minutes. That was really fun for me. No, but when you notice guys like that who are stick handling and pinching in and creating offensive chances, sometimes you don't notice the super solid defender, which is good. Like, so I didn't notice a ton from Matt Roy or Alexia of last night. But that means to me, for the most part, they were doing a pretty good job.
Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning in the DMV, and bring on to the show a draft expert who's going to give us some insight on what Washington's going to do at number 29. Arif Hasan joins us now. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. We really appreciate it. We know you're busy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, very buddy. Well. So what we were saying last hour is that Shador Sanders is kind of the pivot point right now, but it seems to be becoming increasingly obvious that he's going to fall a bunch. Is that how you see this, or do you think he still could go 3 or 9 or 21?
Yeah, I don't see him going around 3. I think there's an outside possibility that he goes 9. But certainly, you know, a lot of people are pinging him to the Steelers at 21. That's been like a conversation over the past week. And I'm a little bit surprised. I see him as a better quarterback prospect than that. But I know that a lot of people, you know, have been talking about the way the league has kind of interpreted him. And it doesn't have anything to do with the amount of attention he gets or Deion Sanders or anything like that. And they, in fact, like Shador a lot as a mature locker room leader and a hard worker. But it's just that there's not really a trump card for him. Like with Cam Ward, you have, you know, this outstanding arm and a lot of physical ability, but with Shador you don't have as much in terms of his athleticism, in terms of his arm, and he's not quite accurate enough to just be kind of that pocket passer that everyone loves. Now, I think that he's a really good quarterback. He deserves to be kind of a top 10 pick, and I could still see it, but it very much seems like the rest of the league doesn't see him the same way. Still kind of just a tier below Cam Ward, still a first-round guy, but closer to that 20s area, and certainly where he goes will kind of define the rest of the draft for a lot of people.
wide left football, Zarif Hassan. So to double click on that, what's your reaction today to some of these betting markets who have him favored to go in round two? Like, why is that happening?
Betting markets are usually very good at identifying, you know, things where there's a lot of data and things where there's a lot of people betting. They're not really very good at this kind of specific, you know, who's going to go where in the draft, who's going to run what in the 40. They're notoriously bad at identifying trade targets in free agency. That's not a big deal to me. I know that betting markets, for example, had Will Levis going top 10, right? Like, these are just, people are just responding. There's reasons that there are, like, strict limits on how much you can bet on these draft props and stuff like that. To me, it's not that big a deal.
So, Arif, if it's not Shedeur Sanders, where's kind of the flashpoint or the fork in the road in this draft here for you? If things go more chalky than maybe some like me are anticipating.
Yeah, I mean, it might even be as high as 5. I know that for the past couple of days, a lot of people have been talking about identifying Mason Graham to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which certainly a strong possibility that there's a good fit there. The team, it sounds like, does like him. But the more I'm hearing out of Jacksonville, the less it seems like they even want to pick there. They might want to trade down. And they're okay kind of losing a chance at grabbing Mason Graham if that happens, and that'll change everything if they trade out, right? So if you've got, you know, maybe say the Jets trade up to get Armand Membo or even Kelvin Banks, you know, it is possible that the rest of the draft looks completely different if you don't take that defensive tackle there. You could see, you know, players like cornerback Will Johnson get pushed down, players that, you know, you would expect to go a little bit higher kind of moving into different areas. I ran a simulation where exactly that thing happened, and we saw, you know, luckily for Washington, we saw some edge rushers kind of fall down a little bit further than the draft than you'd expect. And so that kind of area at number 5 is, I think, pretty big. Where Ashton Gentry goes is going to be big, so that there's a lot of steam right now that the Bears might be trading up into the top 10, one of the few teams that's been rumored to actually want to trade up instead of down. And my estimate is that that would be for someone like an Ashton Gentry. And if they do that, that also alters the shape of the draft. But if they don't, then you've got some question marks like, is he going to go to the Raiders at 7 or what's going to happen there? So I think that's kind of where we start seeing the shape of the draft, you know, kind of take form.
Who's the guy that's going to fall? I know that's it's always such a subjective thing. I actually hate the term, just as a quick editorial, because like no one's been selected yet. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just based on prognostications, right? And a couple guys' mock drafts, and they know, you know, a little bit more than we do. But who's somebody that folks think is going to go high that isn't in your mind?
To me, somebody like a Walter Nolan could be that kind of guy. I know that, you know, earlier in the year he'd been projected as potentially top 10. I know that right now he's not necessarily projected top 10. But I think kind of the locker room-ish concerns about him, you know, he would quit practices when he's frustrated and leave. He had an opportunity to prove that that's not who he was at the Senior Bowl. He ended up leaving during practices then. He's not that great against the run. He's kind of a pure pass rusher, but his production wasn't really as high as you'd expect a pure pass rusher to be. And so he has all the athletic potential in the world, but you know, there are a lot of athletes without a ton of production that people like Shamar Stewart. But I think in order for that kind of player to succeed, you need to be really assured that the kind of player that you're getting is one that's going to work hard to kind of fix their problems. And so while everyone knows about, like, legitimate off-field problems for, say, Isaiah Bond and Mike Green, there's these smaller concerns that don't rise to the level of, say, criminality that still impact, you know, the way that people perceive these players just in terms of how much they can get out of them. So I think, you know, Walter Nolan could be that kind of guy. Certainly I think Matthew Golden might be that kind of guy because, you know, a lot of people like his combine, but my understanding is that teams, their hand timing at his combine wasn't as good as the 4.29. And so they may not see him the same way that a lot of other people do.
Arif Hassan on the NFL draft, which gets underway tomorrow. Grant and Danny here on the Fan from City Tap House in DC. Take us through the edges and where you could see them landing in the first round. Washington very much wants one, it seems like, at 29. Who could be left for them?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to see Jalen Walker there, although I could potentially see him falling because a lot of people don't know what his NFL position is going to be. You're probably not going to see Shamar Stewart. A lot of people have connected him to San Francisco. That'll be kind of interesting. And so from there, you're kind of asking, is Mykal Williams going to be there? Is Mike Green somebody that you're comfortable, you know, grabbing, given kind of all the information out there about him? Certainly he's a very talented player. if you're comfortable, here's another player that you're concerned maybe about his practice habits, James Pierce. If you're comfortable with him, I know that Atlanta has been connected to him. So those are probably the guys that you're paying the most attention to. One of them could fall. Certainly Mykal Williams is a good example of somebody that might fall a little bit because I heard somebody throw out a Jermaine Johnson comp for him. I don't fully agree with that, but I get where they're coming from. It's a run-first kind of defender that doesn't have as much production as a pass rusher, but I think some of that's just what Georgia asked him to do, and I think that he could be a pretty effective edge rusher. So that's somebody that you might want to identify, and if there are guys that might sneak into that first round, if Washington is taking a look at guys that on these big boards and mock drafts isn't necessarily always in the first round but could turn out to be one of the better players in the class, the Boston College edge rusher Donovan Isaraku, who is really, really talented, and super athletic. And I think, personally, I think that he should be a little bit higher up in a lot of these boards, but sometimes you don't even see him in the first round. And I think some of those are size concerns, but to me, I think he overcomes them because he's gone up against competition against these really long, big tackles, and he's still produced.
You mentioned if you are comfortable with .. with like Green and Pierce. What's the baggage? Tell people about the backgrounds on those guys.
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with Pierce because it's just a little bit easier to discuss. But Pierce is just, the book on him is that he's kind of just a bad teammate, just like with Walter Nolan, somebody that doesn't practice that hard, somebody that wasn't as serious about his development and his practice habits, somebody that didn't interact well in the locker room. Like, it's not just that, he doesn't work as hard, but that he just didn't get, the respect of his teammates just from the way that he's interacted with them and stuff like that. So that's somebody that, you'll have to be convinced loves football. You have to be convinced is going to get along with his teammates and stuff like that. That's just kind of basic locker room stuff. Like, maybe football is just not for him, even though he's got, the kind of build and body that you would hope that he'd be able to dedicate himself to football. With Mike Green, there have been a series of allegations, sexual assault allegations, once when he was in high school and then once when he was in college. He mentioned at the combine, and he did take these allegations on head on. He talked about it directly at the combine. I wonder, whether or not, his agent told him not to, but, it sounds like some people were impressed with the way he handled it. Either way, he'd indicated that neither of those allegations had risen to the level of a criminal charge or a civil suit. And so, his argument, of course, is that, both of these instances, never happened and that they're inflated circumstances. And this is just something where you'd be really comfortable as an NFL team with your investigative unit, because they all have private investigation units nowadays, to kind of see what happened. But they did rise to the level of a campus complaint. There's a lot of uncertainty with what happened at Virginia with Mike Green and whether or not, there was some kind of, like, at the time, a lot of people were convinced that maybe it was a false allegation. Now people are maybe not so sure that it was as false as people initially thought. So there's a lot of uncertainty with that one.
Arif Hasan with us here on G&D. Give me the position group where there might be some great value in the middle rounds. I mean, I think about this all the time, the scarcity of some of these elite guys. Like, if you're drafting Ashton Gentry in the top 10, would you be better off, I'm just sort of making this up, with Caleb Johnson in the third round or something to that effect, that sort of gap between those two guys? Is it worth selecting someone, 50, 60, 70 picks earlier? Give me a spot that you think there's good value in the mid rounds here, Arif.
Yeah, I think the defensive tackle group, like, once you get to the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth round, you're probably going to find some guys like a Shamar Turner, Shamar Stewart's teammate over at Texas A&M, Joshua Farmer from Florida State, Omar Norman Lott from Tennessee. These are all SEC pass rushing, defensive tackles that have done a really, really good job of, producing in some ways that maybe a lot of people don't expect. Some of them don't have the athletic profile that you hope work in the NFL, but at some point, production kind of deserves a little bit of attention. And then at nose tackle, there are a lot of bodies there. Somebody like a Deion Walker, who is massive. He's like 6'7". He's a huge defensive tackle. Personally, I don't think that he loves football. I don't think that he adapts very well. I personally wouldn't draft him, but a lot of teams are in love with his size. But there are other nose tackles that are kind of interesting. And the complete opposite end is somebody like a C.J. West, who is barely 6 feet tall. So you've got this 6'7" nose tackle, the 6 foot tall nose tackle. C.J. West, I think, is a spark plug. He does a really, really good job of using his size and holding down the run. And then in between, you've got somebody like Jamari Caldwell, also at nose tackle. Ty Robinson, also a potential mid-rounder pass rushing tackle. Jordan Phillips from Maryland had a good showing in the All-Star circuit, defensive tackle. These are all guys I would expect to go in the third and fourth round. And that is a pretty deep group. As always, wide receiver, you can always find, you know, some pretty good talent depending on how good you are at evaluating. Some pretty good talent. People like Torrey Horton. There's some talk that Isaiah Bond might fall all the way down to the third, fourth rounds. Kyle Williams from Washington State's a guy I really like a lot, depending on how comfortable you are only having, you know, him in the slot or something like that. But yeah, the skill positions are areas where you always have some opportunities, but I think kind of uniquely the defensive tackle group in the middle rounds is something that you can get a lot of value out of.
Arif Hasan is with us looking ahead to tomorrow night's first round in the NFL draft. So based on how you see things falling, walk us through Washington's options, what you like and don't like for them at 29.
Yeah, I think grabbing the Boston College edge rusher Donovan, I think, would be a really good spot for him. But if we do end up in a scenario where, because of trade downs and because, you know, people like these quarterbacks a lot, maybe somebody like a Jalen Milrow or Jackson Dart, you know, gets snuck in the first round, you'll see some of these positions that Washington does need a little bit more investment in, you know, fall a little bit, whether that's edge rusher or cornerback or whatever. I think that you could end up in a situation where, if you're comfortable with the off-field for Mike Green, you'll end up with a really talented edge rusher. If you're comfortable with the practice habits for James Pierce, you'll end up with a really talented edge rusher. And maybe you don't want to answer those questions. Maybe you'll end up with Mikel Williams, who's been pretty productive in his kind of six technique spot. I think that those are all scenarios where you can be pretty happy so long as you answer a couple of questions with who you have. But at cornerback, I think depending on how comfortable your medical team is with, like, say, Savon Revelle, who had an ACL tear last season, you know, I think he's a first-round guy. I know a lot of people have him in the second round, but I think that's primarily injury concerns. And so if you've cleared him from an injury perspective, I think, you know, he could be, you know, I know he's a small school guy from East Carolina, but he could be as big of an impact as Quinyon Mitchell was, another small school guy, was for Philadelphia. Right. And I think that you'll end up in a situation where you've got a really aggressive corner that's willing to defend against the run. And I think Washington could really use somebody like that. So I think those are all pretty good scenarios. In my latest kind of, I was playing around with the experiments and mock drafts, I did match Amike Buka with Washington. I know that wide receiver is not the top need, but I think it would be kind of a fun pairing with Scary Terry and Jayden Daniels and just get that offense really going. You could go outside of the need profile and still grab a guy that's going to help the team out a lot.
Arif, great info, man. Really appreciate it. Good content as well, and enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Arif Hasan, check him out, Wide Left Football on the NFL Draft. All right, I want to get our first chance here to see what we think the Commanders are going to do. We're going to play GM. And over the course of the show, we can give everybody a crack at this. But the way I want to do this, as we've done it in the past, is we're going to pick for the Washington Commanders. I don't think we need to go a full seven rounds. I think we'll just do a two-round mock draft here. And I will simulate. So the 28 picks in front of us are going to be made, and then Washington's going to be on the clock at 29. Danny, you can go first. I'll let you play GM. I will tell you who your options are,
all right,
best available, and if there are any trades that come in if the phone rings.
Okay.
So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, General Manager Danny Peters.
Thank you. How did I just get so much more handsome? Just like that.
All right, pick 29. Washington is on the clock. Are you guys ready for this?
Here we go.
Let's see if the phone is ringing. Are there any offers coming in?
Oh. Hello?
Hey, is Danny there?
Speaking.
Yes. Hey, Mr. Peters. This is Mickey Loomis over with the New Orleans Saints.
Hey, Mickey. How's it going? It seems like you're in salary cap hell.
Yeah, we're always in salary cap hell. What's different? But I did just eat at Brennan's. You ever met this guy, Christian? He's a pretty cool guy.
Good dude. Good host. Yeah.
Yeah,
very
like
delicious
him.
Spot. Yeah.
Wore pink pants. He's very handsome. We like this guy. We like this guy a lot.
Saber of champagne. You ever see him do that?
Nice shoes. It makes a mean beat. He makes a mean beat, that guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've got a pick for you in the second round.
I want to come up to 29.
Okay.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you 40, 71, and my fourth round pick next year. 40 and 71 this year, and my fourth round pick next year, I'd like pick 29.
So I get 40, 71. 71 would be early in the third round. I don't have a third round pick, and next year's fourth. I think I'm doing that.
We got a deal?
I got another call, but that sounds good to me. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Is Mr. Peters there?
Speaking.
Hey, this is Brandon Bean over with the Buffalo Bills. How are you?
Oh, hey, Mr. Bean. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, we're trying to come up one pick here. We've got the 30th pick in the draft.
Okay.
But we want 29. So we will give you 30 and 109, and you give us 29 and 205.
That's very nice of you to offer that. We really appreciate it. But I will not be doing that. I've got a better offer on the other one.
All right. No worries. Thanks for
playing. Thanks so much. Thanks, Mr. Bean. Why am I so in demand? I'm so popular. Hello?
You're running out of time.
I know. I got to hurry up. Oh, this is Danny. Come on. Come on.
Hey there. This is the Bengals. We're one of those organizations that doesn't really have a GM because the owner tells us what to do, but it's Duke Tobin.
Yeah. Let's pretend, Duke.
I'm going to pretend like I have some influence and power for a second.
Let's pretend, Duke. Yeah. Let's pretend.
I'd like to come up to pick 29.
Okay.
You're on the clock here. I'm going to give you pick 49.
Okay.
I'm going to give you pick 81. And I'm going to give you my second round pick next year.
Oh,
I need 29 from you and 128. I'm going to give you 49, 81, and a future second for 29 and 128.
Duke, I got to say goodbye to Mickey Loomis because I'm doing that deal right there. You hang on 1 second. Let me flip over to Mickey Loomis. Mickey, it's Danny again. Sorry, I got a better offer. Can you up it?
No, I can't. You get 40, 71, and a 2026 number four, which is better than what the Bengals are offering you. 49, 81. And a second-round pick next year, but you got to give up 128 as well.
Oh, I forgot that I get 71. I'm trying to do all this on the fly. Probably someone smarter than you wrote it down. Okay, let me get rid of the other guy from Duke Tobin. I'll get rid of Duke Tobin.
You are struggling right now.
I'm scuffing. All right, because it's too many things in my head. I'm ADD.
Pencil and paper? I mean, it's the draft.
Well, it's going too fast.
You're the general manager.
I know what I'm trying to do.
You can't screw this up.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get it wrong. That's why I shouldn't be a GM. Duke Tobin, pipe down. Mickey Loomis, let's do that deal.
Okay, so you're accepting the New Orleans Saints deal. All right, you're back on the clock at pick number 40. You want your best available players?
Go for it.
Didn't even look at those last time. You've got James Pierce still available, the edge from Tennessee. You've got Maxwell Hairston still available, the cornerback from Kentucky. And you've got Landon Jackson is still out there, the edge from Arkansas. I can also update you on other positions if need be, but the phone is ringing right now, Darius.
Oh, my God.
This is via the Pro Football Network Mock Draft Simulator.
Good heavens. Yeah. Hello, it's Danny.
Hey, this is Jared Jones. How you doing, Mr. Peters?
I was doing better before you called, buddy. I thought I was ready to make a pick. What can I do for you?
We're trying to come up four picks. I'm going to give you 44 in my third round pick next year. A third rounder next year just to come up four picks.
No, I don't want to help you. Bye.
Wow. How about that?
Just like that.
I believe the phone is ringing again, Darius.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well,
it's Duke Tobin again. You really ruined my day.
I screwed you over, Duke. Yeah. I admit that.
Yeah, I'm going to make you another offer against my better judgment.
All right.
I'm going to come up nine picks. You got to come back to 49 from 40.
49.
I'm going to give you a second-round pick next year. You got to give me 128. So you're giving me 40 and 128. I'm giving you pick 49 this year and a second-round pick next year.
No, thanks. I'm going to stay and pick. I got my extra selections now.
Okay, pick number 40. Do you know you're taking or you have any questions on who's available?
The pick is in. With their first pick on Friday, presumably, the Washington Local 53 selects Maxwell Hairston, cornerback from Kentucky.
Maxwell Hairston off the board to the Washington Commanders at pick number 40 to move back and still get a guy that is,
I think they're taking it
29 to them. Pretty good. Hairston the selection.
Maxwell Hairston, cornerback, Kentucky. Limited to only 7 games last season due to a shoulder injury, Maxwell Hairston still made his presence felt, being named second team All-SEC. He can be a game-changing defender as he tied the Kentucky school record with 3 career pick sixes. He has great footwork, can change direction quickly, and has a keen ability in route recognition. At 183 pounds, scouts believe he'll need to put on some weight, but his natural nose for the football makes him an asset for any defense.
All right, so Danny, you're back on the clock at 61. Let's round out round two really quickly here. Best available include wide receiver Jalen Royals from Utah State, an edge, Let's see, who's the best edge right now available for you? I'm looking at Jordan Birch from Oregon, Ashton Galoot from Louisville. Anything else you'd like to know about?
So give me the best available again, just in general.
Just ran through them. I mean, you got, let's see, Darius Alexander, D-tackle from Toledo, Jalen Royals, wide receiver, Utah State. The edge, you got Marcus Mboo from Purdue. You want a running back, you could get DJ Giddens from Kansas State. You want a wide receiver, you go Jaden Higgins, Iowa State. What are you doing with pick 61?
Pick is in. With the, what am I on, pick 61 or 71? 61?
61.
The Local 53 selects Jordan Birch, defensive and or edge from Oregon, a three-year starter who had a pretty good campaign in 2024.
Attaboy, got yourself an edge with your second pick, got yourself a corner. Things are looking up for the defense, just like we always expected from GM Danny Ruye.
I know.
No weapons in the early going.
Super annoyed about it, too, by the
couple
way.
Couple of defensive picks. Danny, I think it's my turn to play general manager, though.
Let's do it, my friend. Here we go. All right. Now, full spoiler alert. I have really struggled to do this well over the last couple of years. Okay? You heard earlier when it was my turn to play GM, I couldn't keep the picks straight of like what the offers were. I didn't write it down fast enough. Then I kind of forgot. I told one GM that I wanted to make his deal, but then realized it wasn't as good as the first one, so I had to lie to a general manager. The whole thing was a mess. I ended up with a corner and a defensive end, though. So it worked out, kind of, but I pissed some people off in the process. It's kind of like when Washington let that player go to Buffalo and then said, wait, never mind, and then they went and got him back, and now the Bills won't deal with Washington.
Do you remember who the player was?
It was a running back. It was Chris. That wasn't Chris Thompson. Oh, who was it?
J.D. McKissick.
McKissick!
Yeah.
I couldn't pull it.
Okay, so...
Yep.
But in addition to screwing that up earlier today,
yeah.
I think what you're trying to get to is you have a two-year streak going
yes.
of screwing up this very element of this exercise.
Whatever this is, I don't do this well for some reason. So there's a great chance I mess it up, and that's entertaining too, I guess.
But I've guided you through the simulation and how to do it. It seems very simple, you said. So
yeah.
I think we're ready to go. You are going to now lead me through, as the general manager, the possibilities for the Commanders at 29. So we're going to use the Pro Football Network
mm-hmm.
draft simulation.
Grant Paulson, you are on the clock and the phone. She's a-ringing.
Hello, this is Adam Peters of the Washington Commanders.
I'm not sure what this guy sounds like, so I'm doing generic football guy. Mickey Loomis here, overmatched general manager, New Orleans Saints. We're struggling. We're in a terrible way. I want pick 29. I'm going to offer you pick 40 and pick 93. Pick 40, pick 93.
Okay, I'll get back to you. I think I was told I had a couple more phone calls coming in.
You do have more phone calls.
I'll call you right back, Mickey. Hey, this is Adam Peters at the Commanders.
Hey, how's it going? John Schneider, Seattle. Should have been a Washington GM, but they didn't appreciate me when I was there.
Yeah, I'm sitting in your old seat here in the war room.
Yeah, hope you're doing well. I've had a good run of success out here. We're building something else new. I want pick 29. Give me pick 29, pick 245. Here's what I got for you. Pick 50, pick 52.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to call you back because I like the possibilities of taking that. I got to answer one more call. Just give me 1 minute. Stay by your phone, bud.
Yep, phone's ringing, dude.
All right. I just dropped something. Let me go pick it up. Hold on. Dan, will you answer that? Yeah, let me turn my hat around backwards first so everyone knows I'm cool. Hey, this is Dan Quinn here.
Oh, Dan, I was hoping for Adam Peters, the decision maker.
Yeah. I'm going to get him in a second. He was busy doing something, so I just turned my head around back.
Oh, okay. This is high-quality general manager Brad Holmes here.
One of the best in the business. Hold on. Hey, it's Lance. What's up, buddy? We made great music together in
Detroit. What's up, bro? What's up? How you doing, man?
Well, you seen the Caps, man? I love the Caps.
Oh, I know I have.
They're winning. Yeah.
Red Wings aren't, though.
Adam's right here.
Anyway.
Hello, it's Adam Peters.
Hey, Adam. Serious voice. Brad Holmes here. Pick 20 and that sounds good to us. Here's what I'd like to offer you. Pick 60. Pick 102. A 2026 second rounder. And our 2026 third rounder, Grant. Adam.
That's juicy. And I got to tell you, that's the best offer I got over a two-year sample. But unfortunately, we just got to the NFC Championship game last year, and we're trying to get back this year. So I got work to do on the roster for this football season. So respectfully, Brad, will call you back another time, but we got business to tend to. Can we please go get the Seahawks and John Schneider back on the phone? We are accepting picks 50 and 52 from Seattle for 29 and 245.
Very well, I will file it with the league. That offer has been accepted. Now, see, I messed it up somehow. I accepted the offer, and it filled out the entire draft. I don't understand. This will never work out right. The streak continues.
I want you to know something.
I accepted the offer. I did the thing you told me to do, and it went away.
I showed you everything.
You didn't show me this part.
Guy, you only did one round, probably.
I did not.
Yes, you had to have. If it filled out the rest of the first round, then you didn't do the two rounds.
I must not have done the two
Danny,
rounds.
Danny, I want you to know something. I don't mean what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I hate you.
This is three straight years.
Why do you? Oh, I just want to play
this
GM.
I literally
called Darius over. I'm going to tell everyone what happened.
Go ahead, tell
I
him.
Called Darius over, and I went tell through everything with Darius. He's like, yeah, it's no problem. And then Danny was kind of looking over like a little, like, beady-eyed little...
No, it was fine.
Like, you know, animal in a cage or something. And I could tell he was like, well, why the hell is he getting Darius to do this? And I'm like, do you want to do it? He's like, yeah, I can do it. I've already got it up right here. So we go
I had
over
it up.
It, dry run. I said, Danny,
yep,
you ruined this two straight years. I literally said that to you. Not a nice thing.
Make it three. This is actually incredible. This is incredible.
This is... for you, maybe. Guy, I okay. literally made a note... Because I have an email for, like, draft prep stuff.
Yep.
And it's our annual stuff that we do, like it, love it, hate it, whatever.
So I restarted it. We can do it now.
The note I made from last year was, let Darius lead you through the process. That's the note I made last year.
Listen, if you hurry up and get your attacking me correctly, by the way, over with, we can do it right now. But without all the dramatics of the phone calls.
Darius.
I got it. I have a multi-round thing.
The dramatics of the phone calls are the whole fun of the thing.
It's not. Making the picks. We just make the picks. I've got it for you. You can reject these offers or keep them.
Darius.
Without all the sound effects.
What do we think?
I mean, this is amazing.
Let me just redeem it. I can do it.
Was any part of what I just said exaggerated?
No, it's all right.
This is all factual information, and I am absolutely amazed.
Well, okay. Number one, Darius has never seen draft day. So number two.
Why are you piling on?
I'm admitting that I'm wrong here. I'm the bad guy here.
Okay, so what do you got for me?
I have one trade offer.
Okay, from phone's the ringing, it sounds
we're
going
to do the full phone. Okay. Takes so much longer. 49ers. It's really Kyle Shanahan, but it's like, you know, an emissary.
John Lynch.
Yeah. I suppose it's John Lynch. Pick 43 and a 2026 second rounder.
Okay. Do I have any other calls?
Yep.
Okay. Hello, Adam Peters.
Chris Greer, Miami Dolphins. Pick 29 from you, 128 from you. You could pick 48, 98, a 26 second, and our 26 third.
Ooh, sexy. And what else we got over there?
Let me see. I got another one for you.
Another offer?
Yeah. Phone's ringing again.
Okay. Hello, this is Adam Peters.
Omar Khan, Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's do this one much simpler.
By the way, Danny's killing it right now. He's locked in.
Pick 29 from you. Pick 83, our 2026 first and our 2026 third.
A 26 first for a team that's going to go.
Listen, I'm not saying it's a good offer. I'm saying I'm making it, though.
I'm not doing that. I should, by the way, just because it's a bad segment if I don't get to make any picks. But that's the best offer, and Adam Peters should take it. But I'm Grant Peters, so I'm not going to take it. I will accept the offer from the Miami Dolphins, where I'll get the 48th pick, the 98th pick, and then next year's 2 and 3. I just added two draft picks for next year.
Okay, so I did a two-round mock here. I pushed the right button. So if I hit accept, it's not going to skip through to the end?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm going to hit accept.
You're fine.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Here we go. I accepted. The draft isn't over. You're on the clock at 48, and wouldn't you know, Wouldn't you know the dumb phone's ringing again?
Good.
I don't really want to. I just want you to make a selection.
This is Adam Peters.
Cincinnati Bengals, Duke Tobin, figurehead GM.
Yeah. How you doing?
Fine. Not great, to be honest with you. I got no budget. 48-205 from you. I'm giving you pick 49, moving up one spot, and a 2026 third.
Of course. Yeah, 100%.
You're going to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you not want to hear the other offer?
Nah. Yeah, let's do the other offer. Hey, it's Adam Peters.
Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm James Gladstone. I don't know what it sounds like. James Gladstone.
He sounds like a nerdy 30.
Well, I'm bloviating a little bit because I don't really belong in the seat that I'm in. 48 and 245.
What 30-year-old sounds like
this? A guy who interviews well and wows you with his enthusiasm. 48 and 245 from you. 70 going your way and a 2026 Jacksonville Jaguars second. Shout out to your friend Joey, who's a big Jaguars fan.
No, I'll go down one pick and get the 26th third.
All right, here we go. It's Duke Tobin's pick, and yeah. I'm going to accept Bengals. It for you. Went down one. Oh, my God. Another.
Your phone's ringing.
Come on.
Moving and shaking, baby. Hey, it's Adam Peters.
Hey, John Lynch again, man. I'm lucky to have Kyle. Pick 49 from you. Pick 245 from you. I'm giving you pick 75 and our second rounder.
No, next year.
Next year. That's going to take you out of the second round, so the draft will be over,
yeah,
by the way.
Can't do it.
Thank you. All right. Phone again.
Phone's ringing. Phone's ringing. Look alive, Danny. Phone's ringing. Hey, it's Adam Peters.
How's it going? Joe Ortiz, LA Chargers.
Hey, what's up?
It's cool, bro. 49 from you, 245 from you. We're going to give you pick 55 and pick 86, bro.
Yeah, definitely taking that.
All right, you're accepting.
Absolutely.
It's calling the league
I'm
and accept
stockpiling it. Stockpiling picks right now.
Oh, my God.
Steam.
The trades.
Hey, it's
we're
Adam
out of time. We got to go to Pupatel in 2 minutes.
Hey, right. It's Adam Peters.
Oh, hey, Les Snead, Rams.
Hey, Les, what's up?
Pick 55.
Yeah.
Your next year's seventh for this year's pick 90 and a 2026 second.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, so you're out of the second round then. So you're not making any picks.
How many spots am I moving back?
35.
Oh, no, I thought it was.
To pick 90?
Okay. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry.
All right, so let's reject that one. And, oh, this is an enticing phone call. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Hello, it's Adam Peters.
Andrew Berry from Cleveland.
Yeah.
I'm a little shell-shocked because everything sucks over here right now, bro. you give us 55, we'll give you 67, and next year's third.
No, I got to make a pick, I think.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Will you just make your selection?
All right.
Here's who's available.
BPA.
Jackson Dart, still on the board.
Don't want him.
Oh, you're going to be so steamed. I'm annoyed about this.
Yeah.
Travion Henderson.
Boom. That's the pick. Let's go.
Oh, yuck.
Grant Peters, the
pick. Oh, the worst thing ever.
The pick is in. I got my running back. I wouldn't mind taking it 29. And I just picked up ammunition.
And you're getting him at 55?
That is how you put on a clinic, kids. That's how you run a draft room.
You're still on the clock, bro. Pick 61.
Good.
You got to make another one.
Who's the best available?
Giants are calling with an offer. It's actually a pretty good one.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, soon to be fired, Joe Shane. How are you? Pick 61, that's right now. Pick 65 and pick 99. That's
yeah,
what
we'll
give
take
you.
It.
All right, you're out of the second round then. That's the end, right?
It's fine.
Okay, so we're accepting that. And that's it. You got Trey Henderson, cool. Travion Henderson, 2026 Miami second.
Yeah.
A 2026 Cincinnati third.
Let's go.
And a 2026 Miami third.
I'm loaded next year. I'm about to make 6 picks in round 3. That's how you draft.
This is my least favorite possible outcome.
That's how you draft.
No picks on Thursday, while running back on Friday, and next year's picks.
That was a bleep you, Danny Ruiz.
Oh,
draft.
Throw up in my
that
mouth.
That is how you draft.
You know what? I deserve it for fouling up the thing beforehand.
Danny
I added
Brugler.
5 minutes.
Mike Tice, a former NFL head coach, longtime O-line coach, watched all the tape on all the offensive linemen for a project he was doing for Yahoo. And his favorite offensive lineman in this draft class was Josh Connerly Jr.
How about it?
He'll be on the show to talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes at 2:30. I want to ask him why he liked Connerly so much. But let's get into what Washington did. They stayed at 29, Danny. And what was amazing about when they got on the clock was all of the exercises we went through, clearly knowing nothing for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to the draft. A lot of the guys that we said wouldn't be there were. It was amazing last mm-hmm. night how many of the players, for various reasons, fell. Some of them were medical, right? Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, based on this knee injury that we now know people are worried about and the health of his knee moving forward, he was available, was not supposed to be. They could have gotten Mikey Sanristil's college teammate and immediately added someone that they feel like they could plug and play on the outside. They chose not to. Mike Green, who was my second favorite pass rusher in this class, behind a pass rusher that was destined to go in the top three the entire time, and Abdul Carter. Green's got red flags based on allegations and issues legally,
yep.
women involvement over his career dating back to high school. Obviously, those flags were so substantial that not only Washington, but every other team chose to pass on him. Donovan Ezeraku,
yep.
we talked about from Boston College, 16 and a half sacks, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He's not going to be there for them. That would be a great fit. They chose not to take him. All because they wanted to protect their number one asset, Jaden Daniels, and complete their offseason project, their offensive line refurbishing, with bookend tackles Laremy Tunsil on the left and Connerly on the right. It's not what I saw coming, but everyone keeps saying, what'd you think? And my takeaway is, you'll never get me to be upset about picking an offensive tackle. And I absolutely love anything that results in making sure Jaden Daniels stays on the field. So if so facto, I like the pick.
Yeah. So the couple things curious about it. You touched on what they didn't take. I think it's always important. But point two, left tackle at Oregon. That's the biggest reason I didn't see that coming is you would assume that a team that drafts him is going, he's a left tackle. So there must be some ability or must be some thought that, of course, he'll play on the right side here. And again, naively, I thought, oh, here's what they're going to do. Brandon Coleman, who I thought played adequately to even well at times as a third-round rookie for the team this past year at left tackle, they'll kick him over to right tackle. They've now upgraded two different positions, the left tackle and the right tackle spot. Maybe you kick Wiley inside to the right side, you know, for if and when Sam Cosby comes back. Maybe you have Coleman maybe potentially battle with Allegretti, but it sounded like they were kicking him to the right. And so that's all she wrote in my mind. You've now changed two tackle spots. Well, not so fast. I think now what we learned is either Coleman and Connerly are going to battle a tackle initially, or they view Coleman as a guard the way most of the league did in his pre-draft process. So it's interesting to me just how it's going to fit. But your takeaway is my takeaway. Going into the draft, I'm going, everybody's focused on defensive end and cornerback because that's the obvious need. That's glaring. And I think it still is, by the way. I think they've got work to do in those two spots. To me, though, the axiom of let's not count on miracles again. Let's not count on a miraculous, incredible, unbelievable run where they couldn't run the football, couldn't really protect Jaden Daniels adequately at times, and he worked magic down the stretch. They're playing ball control without being able to run the football. He was so good, he overcame some of their deficiencies. If I have a gripe, it's I wish they'd kind of focused some of this stuff last year. But you're never going to get me to be upset at going to get a marquee left tackle in Tunsil. You're never going to get me to be upset to go, we're going to do more to protect our young quarterback that's about to face a more arduous schedule. The league's had a year to adjust, and defensive coordinators have stayed up late at night figuring out how to stop Kingsbury and Daniels and everything else. I want him to be safe and sound. You will never get me upset at investing resources
it,
there.
To me, is so simple, right? What is the most important thing this organization can do? The best thing they can do is elevate and accentuate the skills of
Jaden Daniels. Maximize and protect, man.
That's all they should think about every hour of every day. You've hit the lottery with the quarterback. How do you keep him healthy? How do you get the best production out of him? How do you surround him with the most so that he can shine? it's business 101, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what is your best asset? Okay, yep. How do we now explore and exploit that to be the best version of ourselves? Taking a tackle is going to help them do that. That's number one. Number two, you get a 21-year-old who Mel Kiper said on the telecast last night he thinks would be a top five-ish pick next year if he were to go back to school and then come out a year from now. That was a reoccurring theme when I was asking people last night about the Connerly pick. They mm-hmm. said, this is a guy, it's a year early pick, essentially. You play him at right tackle right now. And everyone says, well, you just drafted a right tackle at 29. Yes, you did, first of all. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not convinced, though. Let's say Laramie Tunsil, who's not a kid, he's a 30-year-old tackle. If in a couple of years Laramie Tunsil has played well and you're either not going to keep paying him or he starts to fade or isn't at the same level, maybe this is your future left tackle. Yep. Maybe this is your long-term answer at left tackle. But at 21 years old, with the growth last football season that everybody talks about and unbelievable footwork and athleticism, there's a Trent Williams type feel to this. I don't mean he's that caliber of player. Trent went in the top five for a reason. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But what I mean is mm-hmm. Trent Williams used to play point guard at pickup basketball games at Lifetime Fitness in Ashburn. He would go between his legs and dunk.
Yes.
Left tackles don't do that.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen the video of this guy, but last year he was catching passes, caught a touchdown. He got a direct snap and ran off tackle on a goal line play. Like the ability to move and to be an athlete in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury,
you know, they like
the bubble stuff and some of the screens, I think it makes perfect sense. And, yes. it is exactly what we should have been thinking about and weren't. You saw the note, I'm sure, from Cliffy. Kingsbury left the note on Peter's desk saying, get me the left tackle from Oregon. And he did.
I thought that was really cool. Now, I don't think we would have seen that note had Connerly gone or otherwise, or he wasn't available, or they picked somebody else. But
that would be a weird note for Adam Peters show.
Somebody left this.
After they took Mike Green. Right. If he said, you know, Cliff Kingsbury left me this note. Sorry, Cliff. And then crumbles it up.
And it tore it up. Again, the folks that are disappointed, by the way, that's what's beautiful about this whole thing, right? Everyone's going to have a reaction. The way mock drafts work and the way prognostication, this whole industry works, is you have somebody smart, look at what they perceive as the needs of the team are, and then try to line up a player that has those attributes or plays that position or whatever. So anybody's disappointed, it's because you thought they have to get an edge and there are going to be edges available. And there were multiple edges available that I actually thought that's where they were going to go. One of those couple guys. You mentioned Ezeraka. I thought that was going to be the pick, to be honest with you, until I saw Connerly. But remember, they've got a different set of plans. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're right. This group has gotten some benefit of the doubt from me, at least. They've got a vision. It's not just, this year we'll try this, and this month we'll try this. And, it's all kind of different. See Rivera and the Marty Party. So to me, they identified their largest potential paradigm, maybe not need, but the largest thing, the most important thing is kind of not to pat myself on the back, but kind of the summary that you and I are saying here is that's not getting easier for Daniels. We have to make sure we're doing everything we possibly can to secure him and then to maximize him. And that became a priority here. They needed to upgrade that offensive line. And it was a more glaring thing with a player that they valued higher than some of these other defensive ends or corners.
They had a choice. They could have taken a player at their biggest need, which is what I would have done. They did not.
Right.
They could have gone to their second biggest need. Would have liked that too. They didn't do that. I don't even think tackle was a top three or maybe even a top five need for them, honestly. Not that I'm a Wiley guy. I think I was one of the first people to beat that drum that I was out a few weeks into year one of Andrew Wiley with a different coaching staff. But I just didn't think with Coleman now able to move over and take that job from him on the right side.
I didn't anticipate it.
They didn't need to do it, mm-hmm. but they wanted to do it. And I'm okay with that. And they liked the player enough. You know, as desperate as they are to trade back because of how limited they are in the number of picks, that there were absolutely teams trying to come up and called them. And they said, now we're good. This is the guy we wanted. That conviction makes me feel even better. The last point I want to make on this is I also think there is an element of that pick. While it's not reacting to the night, but you've got to look at your division. You have to look at the teams that you play two times a year and what they're good at. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl torching offensive lines all the way through, including Kansas City's, right? They've got a great front. Jalen Carter's an animal. Nolan Smith gets back healthy. stud. They paid Bryce Huff a ton of money. Really, really good defensive front. You've got to be able to be prepared and be able to stop them. The Giants last night made what was my favorite pick of the first round because it was super easy when they got Abdul Carter in the top three. But Brian Burns, who they gave up ones for last year. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best D tackles in the league. That might be the best defensive group of four on paper in the NFL at this point in New York. Dallas is a tier down, in my opinion, but you still have Micah Parsons.
They're still good,
They signed Dante Fowler from here, who was a double-digit sack guy last year. They paid Odighizuwa, who's a good player. So you're in a division where they can get after the quarterback, and you better be able to feel really, really good at both tackle spots. And if you say, well, what about Brandon Coleman? They may have thought all along, we'll try him at tackle in the meantime. He was a third-round pick. It's not like he was a top 15 pick. If he moves to guard, so be it. He could be a really good guard. I mean, Washington did that with Brandon Scherff, and he was a top 5 pick.
Yep.
So you could still get great value out of Coleman if he's your long-term left guard. And that's my guess now, is that you'd have Tunsil at left tackle when everybody's healthy. You would have Coleman at left guard, Biotish at center, Cosme at right guard, and then Connerly at right tackle.